In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hey everybody, it's Kyla here with the Teachings of Joshua. Joshua Live is on hiatus this week, so in its place we're sharing with you the very first Friends of Joshua call. These calls are where fellow students get together to talk about how we are applying these teachings in our daily lives and anything that we are just learning and exploring here. So this call was recorded on February 27th of 2017. We hope that you enjoy it, and Joshua Live will be back next week as usual. Thanks, everybody.
Talk show. Recorded live.
I am the only one here, I believe. I intend to have fun. I intend to be open to inspiration. I intend to be focused if I want to be focused. I intend to relax and let go of control. I intend to be a tool of the universe, a conduit. I intend to allow the information that is needed to flow through me. I intend to have faith that anything I am saying is perfect and that someone out there is a match to it. That feels good for now. Call is being recorded. I intend to feel relaxed and at ease and comfortable in my own skin. I intend to be unapologetically me. Oh, I intend to feel good and be easy.
Hello, is anybody on?
I am.
Hi, Kyla.
This is Kyla. Hi. How are you, Wendy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Long time no see, huh?
Right.
Is anybody else here? It says Julie. Is that Julie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey!
Did you see what I just typed? It's like
yeah.
Crazy. My husband's like trying to wrangle all 3 kids. I'm like, it's too loud. I'm here. I'm on a call. So.
No worries. My kids have been in the background of a few calls. I would love to hear how you found out about Joshua, or like how you kind of got here, Julie.
Okay. I mean, if everyone's like ready, I'd love to tell
you. Yeah. Go. Yeah. Let's go.
I listen to you guys all the time, and I love hearing everyone's story. Like, I love it when Gary talks about his backstory, because everyone's always fascinated by where, you know, how you got there. Let's see. I was in my second pregnancy, and I was just really depressed. I have to backtrack a little bit. I didn't get married until 30, I think, and had children a little later. And this is my husband's second marriage. And I was just, like, young and wild in my 20s. I didn't really think I was going to get married and settle down. And I did a lot for myself. I'm an artist and dancer and all those kind of things. But when I got married with him, I became an instant stepmom. And I moved away from my hometown and moved to the smaller town in Bluffton. And there wasn't as much for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, I became like a stepmom, a wife, and the mom, like, really quick, and I felt like I lost myself and just kind of depressed about it all. I thought, like, did I make the wrong choice? Is like this domestic kind of small town world for me? And so I just was I knew, instead of complaining about it, like I had come and complained about it for like a year, I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what. So I just started like looking up positive affirmations. I use the app Stitcher. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah.
For my podcast. Yeah. I was just typing in keywords like I think affirmations, and that led me to one lady, and I can't even remember her name now, and read her book and stuff, and led me to Law of Attraction Radio, and then that's when I listened to my first one with Gary talking about or I don't even know which episode it was, and then I went from there to the Teaching of Joshua, and it like seriously changed my life.
Right.
Oh, my husband's God. Like, you're a whole new person, and I'm like, yeah, is that a good thing though? Like, I changed so much where I'm not the person like you, Mary, because I'm always like positive.
Yeah.
You always want some contrast, you know, a little bit of contrast, a little bit of something in there. But he's like, no, he's like, it's great, you know. He's like, we're just always trying to inspire each other and all that. So that's that's where it came from, is Law of Attraction Radio. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So is your husband into this kind of stuff too, or does he just like kind of pick up what you are learning from you?
He's pretty cool. He's always been spiritual. Like he was super like religious back in the day, and then kind of like left the church world to go like dive into like different things like Buddhism and all this kind of stuff. And he does, he's definitely into like spirituality and stuff. He likes listening to Joshua, but he has his own people that he listens to more about like, he does like two hour meditations and, like magic and, he's into a little bit different side of it, but we have awesome conversations. You know what I mean? So he definitely gets it.
Cool.
I mean, he knows about it. He does listen to it. I think he thinks though, he doesn't believe some of the channelers. Like I love channeling Eric as well. And I watched like, that Jersey medium lady, whatever.
And
Monica and all those people. I know that everyone's got their different thing, but he's like, that's so fake. And I'm like, I don't know. So I don't think he thinks Gary or anybody else is fake. I think he thinks that it's coming from a higher subconscious though. Like your inside higher subconscious. That's where he's kind of at, but he's like open to like, you know, being more open, you know? So.
Right. Right.
Hi, everybody. Aww. I just joined a few minutes ago. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, good. Sorry, I'm like rambling.
No, I was having technical difficulties, and I went to the webpage first, and then I said, oh, I got to dial in. So I'm here. How you guys doing?
Yay. Good.
Oh, wow. Glad you could join us.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm Kyla, obviously, and then you hear Wendy, and then Julie and Mark. Have you guys ever interacted? Julie, did you hear the podcast episode that Mark was on? He joined us.
I don't think so. I'm like back. Like I'm not updated or like up to date. I like started from the very beginning, and then I just like pop it on as it goes. So I'm not up to date. I don't know anything about Mark. I'd love to know all about you.
Yeah.
Hey, Julie. How's it going?
Good. Everything's great.
Good to meet you.
I
heard a little bit about what you were saying. I guess I missed the beginning, but we'll get to know each other.
That's fine.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, Mark, do you want to share your story with Julie since she hasn't heard it? Just kind of like how your spiritual journey and how you kind of happened upon Joshua and what's been like since then?
Oh, yeah. All right. So you guys have to hear it all again, right?
Okay. I'm all right with it.
Okay, so I started when I was a young guy. I just used to worry a lot about. I would have tests, and I really worried. And I would overthink stuff, and my family worried a lot. I remember seeing Jaws for the first time, and also I remember hearing about the movie The Exorcist, and it haunted me. And I used to like stay up at night and just my mind would just wander, like, what if is it real?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was a haunted little kid. haunted myself. And so I was like, I got to do something about this. I got to read, learn how to not worry and how your thoughts affect your life, things like that. So I started reading any book I can find on those, you know, self-empowerment, things like that. And then a few years later, I discovered Abraham Hicks and the Law of Attraction, and loved the information and got really into it, and been a fan of Abraham Hicks since then. And then, just started to apply it in my life and made some really cool changes in my life using it. And then I discovered Joshua from some friends of mine and some clients. It was like a little buzz. They were starting to talk about it, and I heard it from two different clients of mine and who were their friends. And so I checked out the cheat codes at first, and then I started listening to the podcasts, and then I bought the books, and been a huge fan of the podcasts and the books. So
yeah. I know, I got one of the books for Christmas. You know you're in it when that's what you're asking for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Which book did you get, Julie?
The second one. So I'm almost done with the first one. I've kind of been crazy. I know there's no excuses, but I'm kind of in crazy town. Like, I have a 4-month-old, and, you know, so, like, while I'm nursing, you know, I'm trying to read and stuff, but it's a little crazy here.
Awesome.
So, I'm sorry, how long ago was it, Julie, that you found Joshua's stuff? You said it was while you're pregnant with this baby that you have now, the 4-month-old? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was, I don't know, maybe like when I was, well, I don't know, 6 months pregnant or something like that. Mm. It was like right before we were getting ready to move, and it was a great time because it really helped me. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely helped me through like stressful part of my life.
Yeah. Wasn't it on the roundtable, Wendy, just a couple of days ago that we were talking about sort of where we were all at when we first found Joshua? And for me and Astrid and Wendy, like, it was all just these really, just like you're talking about, Julie, like this really crucial time in our life where we kind of felt like we didn't, we needed something to grab onto. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting how everybody comes around it and how you have to be ready for it. You know what I mean? It could be, it might have presented itself several times and you just weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
I think that's true for sure.
So Julie and Mark, I guess Mark, you're a coach along these lines. Julie, do a lot of people in your life, like in your personal life, know about this kind of stuff that you're into outside of your husband, you know? Is it something that you share?
Sometimes if someone's in like this kind of category or a topic of conversation, I try to explain what I'm into, but the words never come out right. And then they come back with these questions and I really don't know how to like explain it. So sometimes I don't really go there. But I think the people that are close to me and that I have conversations with and want to talk about it, I kind of tell them, you know, what like my philosophy is, what I believe in. But people are so... I don't know. They almost take it like religion or politics. Like, it's, you know, if you're going to try to change someone's set ways and beliefs, they don't, they always have something back to say to me. Like, well, then so you're trying to tell me that being a pedophile is okay because everything's right.
I know.
So I have people that argue with me so much about it that I don't, unless I'm like in a good, talking like good vibes and everything, I don't really bring it. But I'm definitely not scared to share what I believe in because, I don't know. I'm not afraid like that. Like people like, no, I'm kind of eccentric anyway, so I'm just different.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love it. Yeah.
Mark, what are you, soccer?
I just call it my spiritual mastermind because I can't even begin to explain it half the time. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to be reading the book and listening to the podcast, and it's a hard one to just start from nowhere to kind of talk about, you know, trying to summon it all up.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I can
boil it down.
I can never do that.
Right.
Huh. Mark, has that gotten easier with you and your practice? I mean, like condensing messages, you know?
Yeah, it's easy with, if I'm talking, you know, if I'm helping somebody, it's easy. But yeah, you're right. Same thing, Julie. Like if it's outside of like working and you're trying to have that conversation, it's hard. Like, yeah, people resist it and they will come up with, like really hard. So like, you know, Wendy, you were talking about that post that I made on Facebook. And I had mentioned, and you guys have heard like what you resist persists, you know, what you resist persists. Right. So, I had mentioned that in my post and we're talking about, Trump and I was talking anyway, I don't need to get into what I was saying, but when I was talking about, you know, what you resist persists, someone's talked about, they brought up the Holocaust and like Hitler, like, well, if you don't resist Hitler, you know, and it's just, you come up with these hard things that it's really hard to, you know, try to make a point with that. So, I understand about.
Well, and I think to be able to make a point with that, you really have to have your head wrapped around there is no wrong and how everything is right based on why the people came, you know, why the beings came to physical reality, what their path is, what their intention is, what they're, you know, here to do. And until you can wrap your head around that, which I have glimpses where I can, and then I lose it. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it.
It's hard. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. If they're not thinking that. Yeah.
For me, it's about what they can. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've practiced talking about it a lot just because I like talking. And so I've practiced talking about it with strangers, you know, like at the coffee shop. And I found that a lot of it, just like with everything, has to do with the mindset that I'm in when I'm, you know, having that conversation.
Oh, wow.
If I'm more tuned in, and if I'm just talking about it because I'm really excited about it and, you know, like something has just happened for me and I'm putting it in that sort of bigger context, then the words come really easily and it's, you know, it just flows right out. And it seems like I'm able to, in the same way that Joshua, like, tailors their message specifically for the person so it can be best received by that person,
right,
like,
yeah,
not quite on that level, but, like, the words that come out of me just end up being the words that are easiest for them to understand.
That's really good.
But then there are times when I see somebody struggling, and I'm like, oh, if they just knew this, they would feel better. And when I tell them about it from that place, then that's where the words don't come as well, and it doesn't land like I want it to.
Yeah, really good point.
Yeah.
But it's
that's
still
true.
Yeah.
But Kyle, that might be like your gift and purpose here too, because I feel like when I listen to you on the podcast stuff, you always have a right way of like summing up what someone's trying to say, like the right words. And I think that that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's like talking to people at coffee shops and telling them about it, because isn't that like your major to do this? Like doing, being on the radio as a broadcast or something.
Yeah.
Or
like
whatever.
Media production.
Yeah.
So funny, 'cause I went like 10 years without using it and then just ended up on this podcast. I'm like, oh, hey, I went to school for this.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Okay.
I just landed here. I double majored. I majored in French, which my dad thought was a terrible idea, but I did it because it was fun. And then surprise, surprise, that's what I ended up getting a job with right out of school. So.
Oh, right?
Follow the
fun. What was your idea when you first took the – would you have a radio broadcast major?
I mean, I just did that one because it was fun, too. Honestly, I chose it because there was no science or math classes. When I was going to college, I was just lost. I didn't have any idea what I wanted out of life. I didn't have any idea who I was. And I went to college because that's what you do. Like, especially in my family, where my dad came from, you know, poverty and worked really hard to put himself through college. And so it was his dream to see both of his kids go through college. And so that's what I did, even though I didn't necessarily want to be there. But it all worked out perfectly. I learned what I needed to know, even when I was skipping class and like staying home and watching America's Next Top Model reruns. Now, but like I'm like getting into photography stuff and so I'm using those things that I learned about posture and how to, you know. And so I was just looking at that the other day, where I thought I was just wasting time smoking pot in my basement apartment, you know. And it's all like exactly what I needed now.
I don't know if anybody's had regret, but now we all know, like, it was all working out for us to get to where we need to be now, you know?
Yeah. That's been a theme on the live calls lately that Joshua keeps bringing up, is every time one of us, you know, has a fear about something, it's because we're projecting 50 steps down the road, and they tell us we can't possibly see what's going to happen because you're not a match to that. You're only a match to what's happening now. So all you have to do is take the next step. Do whatever feels right now. And
for me,
that was what felt good at the time. And even though I judged myself for it, like, I still did it. And now, it is fine.
Yeah, you know, aren't we all lost in school?
Yeah.
Like, when almost everyone's lost, like, when they first go to college. I think a lot of people are in the same situation. Like, okay, I'm going because that's what everyone does.
Societal pressures, you know?
Yeah.
Finding out what you want to do.
It's been interesting to observe a shift in that, though, how a lot more, you know, kids are taking the gap year these days school, or it seems like society is changing with the newer generations, which I guess always happens. But
that's true.
It seems like
there's
less pressure upon this idea, maybe because of the recession, where a college degree doesn't matter as much as it used to, you know, unless you're going for a master's. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I know.
I'm so excited to hearing all the techniques that Joshua does with the kids, just because I'm in the thick of it. I'm like, I can't wait now to like raise them differently than when I probably thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was something. Mark, do you have kids?
I'm probably just going to follow suit with what my parents taught me, you know, and just what I thought. But
I think it's really easy for that to happen. Just fall into the same pattern.
Yeah. I don't have kids. We tried, we couldn't. And so we got a bulldog. I think part of me feels we weren't really meant to. We tried and we couldn't, and you know how some people are like, I need to have kids, and that's just my, you know, why I'm here, and we didn't really have that, so so it worked out okay, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So how about you guys? Oh, I know you, Kyla, you have two,
yeah,
right?
I have two. Uh-huh, two little ones, five and two.
Five and two, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what about
how old are you?
Julie?
Oh, God. Yeah. Julie, how old are yours?
Okay, 4 months almost five, a 2.5-year-old, and then my stepdaughter's 12.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Wendy's babies are all grown.
No, my babies are men.
What's that, Wendy?
Exactly. My babies are men. I have one that's almost 28, one that's almost 26, and one that's 24. And the 26-year-old and his wife are having a baby due end of June.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A boy. It's a boy. We do boys.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So wait, you have three boys?
I have three boys, uh-huh.
Or three men? And then you're
three
having,
men,
okay.
Yeah. Will always be my boys. My baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found
it. Hard, right?
Yeah, but a lot of the things I did with them growing up, I mean, I did very stereotypical things too, but just like instinct, I did things that were very Joshua-esque, even though I didn't really know about it. But I wasn't real involved with science of mind when they were younger and, you know, same kind of principles and everything as far as, you know, the powers within yourself kind of thing. And they've all three kind of, you know, adapted it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Julie, I'm curious. I mean, I know you said you were 6 months pregnant. Did the Joshua stuff or any other stuff that you've been learning, did it help during labor or during that process, like the delivery process at all? Or were you just zoned into that, what was going on in that moment? I mean, I wondered before how my experiences might have been different if I had these sorts of tools beforehand.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wasn't as like uptight, but then I think that's just because it was my second kid too.
Right.
I think it was more like my last few weeks in my pregnancy. Like I was meditating hard, and I was just it was hard. I'm working out. I'm actually a fitness instructor, and so I am hyper. Like that's just what I was my gift. Like you know, I'm always changing things up with people. I'm like, that's just what I do. I tried doing the 9-to-5. It didn't work for me. And so I was working a lot, doing all my fitness classes, and I had my toddler. And I don't know. I was just, like, cool with everything. Now, if I had tried to do that without Joshua, I think that I would have been pissed and, like, tired, you know? And so I was just, like, happy, like, going with it, and I meditated, and I don't know. But as far as labor goes, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. No,
right.
I didn't think about it. I think I was just a little bit more easygoing with it all, a little more positive with everything, just whatever happens is going to happen and needs to happen and everything's going to work out, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the live call today about to just be in that place. It's such a sweet, sweet spot. It's not easy to get there, but if you can get there and stay there for a little while where you just know that everything's happening for you and really be with that. I'm bouncing in and out of that all the time.
Yeah.
But later, that'd be an awesome time to know that.
Right.
Yeah, that mindset is such a good daily lesson. Like day in and day out, I'm constantly going through that roller coaster of, you know, thinking everything's for me. I have to say it out loud and I have to breathe. I'm like, everything's happening for you. Everything's happening for you. Like, my baby didn't sleep last night. We all had colds, and I was up like last night I was in Florida. I drove all the way to Florida with both my kids to see my parents by myself to give my husband a break. And but, you know, the night before we left, I hadn't had sleep in like days. And so I set an intention. I was like, I'm going to set intention that I'm going to be healthy and happy. And so is she, and she's going to sleep and I'm going to sleep. And then here comes 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And by like the fourth time I was sitting there, I was ready to cry. And I was like, what happened to my intention? You know, the night before I set an intention and she slept all the way till 5, which is like amazing. I was like, wow, see, that shit worked. But and then the next night it totally did it. And I just, you know, sipped my green tea, got in the car, and I was so worried that I was going to be so tired. And guess what? And the next day she slept the entire way and she's not asleep. And I'm like, that's why she didn't sleep, because the universe had another plan for me so that my ride and my journey or my trip back home would be awesome. You know?
Oh,
so,
wow.
Awesome.
I know. I get those kind of lessons all the time, you know, or like in the moment I'm like, I don't understand how this is for me.
I think it's good for you for recognizing afterwards, because that's a component.
I feel like the more time, exactly. I was just going to say, the more time I spend like appreciating those little things that happen all over the place, the more, I don't even know if it's the more they show up or the more I recognize them. You know, they're probably always happening, but
That's cool. That's fun stuff. With little babies.
Yeah. Mark, have you had anything like that where you thought like something wasn't happening for you and then you saw shortly after what it was? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things, but any examples come to mind?
Let's see if something comes to mind. So many things, but it's like similar things to what you said, Kyla, as far as like something years ago you went through and then you see later on. Yeah. Okay. So I got a quick one. I used to have a recording studio. I had a recording studio and then I was, so I was never going to have a 9-to-5 job when I was young, like in my 20s. I was kind of stubborn and I was like, never going to have a 9-to-5. I'm always going to do my own thing. So I had a I was into music. I love music. I had a recording studio and that did fine for about 6 years. And then after those 6 years, I'm like, I want to do something different, you know, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I closed up shop and I started to, I tried another little business, like a jingles business, and that failed. And I never failed in anything like that before. Like my business, my recording studio business, like happened, it, you know, turned out fine as far as promoting it and getting customers. And so I really lost confidence in myself when that failed. And then I started to do temp work and I was just struggling. It was like, you know, really hard time in my life. And then I started to apply like the law of attraction tools, and like I would drive around and I would just park and just chill out in my car and listen to music and meditate. And just, I told myself that, you know, I couldn't attract a better situation from stress and worry. So I just had to chill out, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I started to do that week after week. And then, I attracted a job, a better job. And then I attracted another job that was better. But, and then finally I got a job where I was a computer programmer, a software developer. But anyway, so looking back, what I saw that what I had to go through when I was doing those temp jobs were, like what Josh would say, that the universe is molding you into who you need to be to get what you want. And so by the time I got, like, I got that last job, that was a good job, because I liked the computer programming. By the time I did that, I appreciated a 9-to-5, right? I appreciated going to a company, and because temp, when you're a temp, when I was doing temp work, you kind of go to these companies and you work, and you're not really treated that well, and you're not treated like you belong, and you're not getting a salary. And by the time I like got that 9-to-5, I was happy, you know. So So I saw that all the struggle that I went through was, but you know, created, kind of molded me into where I was to get that to get that latest job. Yeah,
that's cool.
That's awesome. I love those stories. Again, we were just talking about how it's so simple, yet we make it so hard.
True. And I know that if I would have known the Joshua stuff back then, I wouldn't have resist, because you know we resist when we, like, what's going on, how come things aren't working out,
right?
And you just get really down on yourself instead of thinking, you know, this is not happening to me, it's happening for me, and then you can relax into it. I think, I mean, no regrets, but I think I would have gotten out of it way faster, you know.
Me too, absolutely. Yeah. And worrying about what people think about you, oh look, he's a temp, or oh look, you know, she can't do that, or you know, I don't know, I just, all that stuff, if I just would have not cared, it could have been so different, but then I would have been a different person too, so I have to go through that.
Exactly.
So hopefully all those big ones are behind me.
Move on.
Probably not.
But the bounce back time is so much faster. That's what I'm finding. Yeah. Like, I still have manifestation events, but one, I don't see them. I perceive them differently. So things that I would have perceived as terrible before, now I'm like, okay, that's a tiny bump, you know? And then
right.
I still have the ups and downs, but the downs are a lot shorter than they used to be. So much shorter. And they're getting shorter and shorter all the time. Are you guys, Julie and Mark, are you guys experiencing that? I know Wendy is, like, having faster bounce back times, like, you know, every week, seems like.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely for me. Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. There's only a little bit of the time now where I have, like, a breaking point where I'm just like, I'm having a shitty day, like, move out of the way, you know?
I'm
quick to, like, hang out. Like, I just tell my husband, you know, I'm like, I'm having a breaking point. I'm so sorry. I will get it together. Give me a second. Because it's almost worse because I feel like now I expect so much out of myself. It's like I know better. It's like I feel guilty about feeling that way. Like, you know, even though like, I know we need, I don't know, I'm a very emotional person. And since I paint abstract art, like I haven't been able to paint really anything because I'm not like really hurting. I'm not like deeply emotionally disturbed and like angry or confused or depressed. Like, I'm, you know, pretty good, but still, like, I, you know, anytime I get there, then I now still, you know, kind of feel guilty for getting that way. I'm like, I should know better. Like, this, you know, it's all fine. I chose this. This is all working, you know, but it does make you kind of feel like now you have to worry about not worrying or something.
I wonder what if, like, what if instead of self-judgment, when you get to that place, just, like, being like, awesome. I'm upset. Now I can make some great art. Maybe that's why this is happening.
Make a masterpiece. Make a masterpiece.
I'm supposed to go create. Excuse me.
I will. It's there. It's upstairs waiting for me. Like, I'll get to it when I'm inspired to do it. But another thing, too, is I've been, what I did recently is, you know, sometimes I feel like I got to do these things or to push myself to be inspired or, my husband's more like, you know, if you want to paint, then put it on your schedule. Like, say, every Thursday and Friday, I'm going to put 2 hours painting. I'm like, hell no, that's not how my mind works. Like, I'm tired to paint, you know? And, like, a couple of times I needed to do something, like do some work or work on one of my classes or clean the house or whatever. And then I'm just like, I'm inspired to go up to the baby's room and, like, go through all her clothes and fold them and do mindless, stupid stuff and blow my entire morning. And I'm like, awesome. I'm like so proud of myself that I went with that instead of doing what I think that I needed to. Like, I'm absolutely doing what I'm inspired to do, even if it's stupid. Like, nothingness, which some people would say is a waste of time. You know, I'm like, that's what I wanted to do.
That's big. Well, that's, society makes that. If you're just being, you're being lazy and you're wasting time.
Right.
Where that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing is being, not doing.
Yeah. And what I find is, like, when I do stuff like that, you know, if that were, like, my version of going up to the baby's room or whatever, or just, like, sitting and staring at a wall, that's when I get the best ideas that I have, you know?
It seems
like this, like, innocuous task that I just want to cross off for myself that nobody else is going to, like, receive any benefit from. But then, I don't know, more inspiration seems to, like, follow when I give into those kind of things like that.
I have to admit, though, some of it is, to be honest, like, it's choosing whether I'm going to meditate for the day or not. Like, sometimes I'm not inspired to meditate. Like, I have other things I want to do, but I know Joshua says that's pretty big. Is anybody, like, really committing and sticking to it every single day?
I do.
I meditate every morning before I get out of bed and every night when I go to bed.
Good for you. How long do you meditate for?
I just listened to one of the, I listened to Kyla. I listened to one of the Joshua meditations and I'll get stuck on one for a while. Then I'll have the inspired to change it up. Or once in a great while, I go back. I have the Abraham ones too. And like this morning, I listened to their one on physical well-being because I had a migraine last night. So I wanted to listen to the physical well-being. And so I listened to that one this morning, but it helps me to relax to go to sleep, and then it helps me start my day off on the right.
At night, do you do it setting up? Because I say I meditate at night, but I turn one on at night, and then I usually fall asleep halfway through it.
Right.
I do it lying down. Yeah, and then sometimes I'll fall asleep, but usually I'll go in and out, and honestly is the best time because I really, like, I fall asleep then, like, in that mode, and it's just a lot more restful sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
That's why I do both times.
Yeah. I was going to say, Julie, I can totally identify with you feeling like you should be meditating, you know, because especially because when I was in the one-on-one, like, committed to it, you know, that's one of the commitments is you meditate every day. And Emma was just saying that she doesn't meditate every day, and I don't think Astrid does either. So it's definitely not, I mean, an abnormal thing. But what I have tried to do to sort of give myself grace in it is accept that it's okay to do other forms of meditation, like walking meditation, or I meditate while I drive. Just meditation is just the idea of clearing your mind of thoughts, or if there are thoughts that get in, detaching from them and letting them pass through without judgment. So I've realized, or at least told myself the story, that I'm meditating a lot of my day, and it doesn't look like maybe sitting down and clearing out a 20-minute or a 15 or 20-minute period. But I'm getting what the point of it is, which is to be able to control the flow of thoughts. So
that's a good point, because I like walking, and sometimes I'll go for a walk, and that's to me like a huge time to meditate, like being alone and everything. So
here's an example of one thing like leading to another. Something that seemed like it was terrible ended up being for me. So after the birth of my second, I probably talked about this a little bit before. They called it postpartum depression, but there was a whole lot going on. And I, like, lost it. My therapist was like, maybe you ought to consider checking into a psych ward. And that wasn't for me. So what I did was go to a Buddhist retreat up in the mountains. And I wasn't Buddhist.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't ever really meditated, but it was just this place that looked like, you know, a relaxing time. And so I went by myself.
Yeah.
And I was the only one there. So I got a lot of attention from the staff. And they basically taught me how to meditate and ended up in with a group of college kids came. And I sat in with them for an hour. And we alternated between like sitting meditation for 15 minutes. And then we got up and did walking meditation. Like this was a structured, you know, walking and focusing on not focusing on anything. But that opened my mind to the idea of different types of meditation and being able to play with it and not having to make it look like the way that everybody else does it. But even like having that, I didn't put the pieces together that like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have to beat myself up for not looking like the way everybody else meditates until just recently. And that was a year and something ago. So,
Wow. That is helpful.
How long were you looking
in the
mountains?
I was going to say, I'm more jealous that you got to go do that retreat.
It was an amazing experience, but the circumstances leading up to it did not feel, I mean, I don't know. It was desperate. So it was like six nights, I think, and 7 days. It was, it was drastic. It was a last minute thing. Like I had to call my mom to come watch my kids and everybody was really worried about me. And I was considering throwing myself off of the top of the high rise that I lived in. Like it was real dark. It was dark.
How were you after it?
Oh, fuck. I was incredible. Because for the because it was the first time I spent the first day and a half sleeping. Like, Julie, I totally feel your pain because I was just so sleep deprived, like so sleep deprived. I couldn't think straight. It was happening. Like I was not in a good place. So I slept for about the first day and a half. And this is also when I was really realizing how bad as I perceived it things were with my marriage at the time. And so I was considering leaving and I just didn't have any idea. And so I went there and I slept for the first day and a half.
Wow.
And then I laid in bed
the next day. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you slept the whole day and a half? Oh, okay.
No, I like got up and went, I stayed in my bed, I guess I should say.
Wow.
And just like slept when I felt like my body needed sleep and then got up and went to eat and got up and smoked cigarettes and then went back to bed, you know?
Okay. All right.
So then I don't even remember when it happened. At one point, the question occurred to me, like, what do I want? And that question blew my mind because I had not been considering that at all. I'd been doing everything for my family, everything for my kids, everything for my parents, everything for everybody else, my entire life. And finally, I was asking myself what I wanted. And then that turned into, who am I now and who do I want to be? And what's the difference between the two?
It turned into it from inspiration. Oh, sorry to interrupt. But did that come? Yeah.
During the meditations and I was walking and hiking and I just gotten a new camera. So I was just like playing with my photography and expressing myself and just taking all of this time to just focus on me. I was journaling.
Okay.
And then also wow. talking to people here and there and like hearing other people's stories who were just looking back now. They were unapologetically then. It was all these crazy people who lived up in the mountains who chose to leave everything and come and volunteer at this
wow.
place, basically. And
yeah.
so it was just all of these things. And it was really, I was only so open to it because I had hit rock bottom.
Right.
And so I had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, it was a big turnaround for me. And I say I was incredible when I came back. I mean, that high from that, where I was so clear and everything, lasted probably about 3 days before I was like back in
the shithole. I was just saying, like, you come back into the real world again. Yeah.
Okay. But so like, but that's what the turnaround was for me. When I came back, I had a
right.
desire to live. So that's why I say I was incredible.
Oh,
because I went from like wanting to die to like
yeah.
seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, or like seeing some reason why I might have a reason for being here, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Or like maybe I wasn't done exploring whatever I came here to explore. I knew there was more and I wanted to see what it was.
It saved
so,
your life. It saved
it
your
did.
Life. 7 days
yeah.
up in the mountains. Wow.
Yeah, it did. And then Joshua, like, so I started sort of slowly coming out of the depression, but still had all this stuff going on with my husband. And I left him. We were all living in Denver and we're planning to move back to Kansas where we were from.
Mm-hmm.
And right before we moved is when I decided to leave, but I was sort of stuck there isolated with him. So I stayed at a friend's apartment in the evenings and came back before my kids woke up and then left when they went to bed and went and stayed at this apartment. And so it was then
mm-hmm.
that I started doing these really deep meditation things. It was then that I heard about Law of Attraction, Googled Law of Attraction Radio, found that, eventually found Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was right after I, like when we moved back to Kansas, I went to my parents' house, he went to his. So that's when I started in with the Joshua stuff. So that was about a
wow.
6 month time period between when I was in the mountains and when I left and like discovered Joshua stuff, 6 to 8 months probably.
Wow.
And so in that
yeah.
time in between, I was slowly coming out of my depression and I think becoming a vibrational match, like getting to a place where I could receive the teachings that Joshua has and other, and so many other people. Like Joshua was just a perfect match for me because I'm sarcastic and
yeah.
like, you know, dry sense of humor. And so I hear it really
yeah.
well. Abraham is okay. Like, but I didn't get into it first. Like it seems a lot of people did. I didn't come into Abraham until after Joshua.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, really?
Me too.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks for sharing that those story. So, did you know what? Did you call it the dark night of the soul for you? Do you know? Have you ever heard that?
I didn't have that. Yeah, I heard that afterwards. And looking back, that's
yeah.
totally what it was for me. And there, what's so funny, I heard that through some of these videos, maybe Matt Kahn or somebody else. Like after I got into Joshua stuff and then started exploring other things, but then looking back, there's this song I think by the Cold War Kids. And that I just listened to obsessively. And when I went back
wow.
and listened to after hearing that terminology, that line is in there, a dark night of the
soul.
Oh, I was like, oh my God,
wow.
that's crazy. But yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Have
yeah,
you had one of those, Mark? Like, is that? Is
yeah.
that what
I mean, that what I explained, the temp work, the 2 years of struggling, that
mm-hmm.
was my dark night. That was, I mean, it wasn't, you know, we all have our own, but that was, for me, it was, yeah, hardest
yeah.
time of my life. And so, you know, you lose faith in, well, I lost faith in myself and I didn't know what the fuck
mm-hmm.
I was doing, excuse my language.
Yeah,
and
yeah. No,
lost.
No.
yeah.
Hmm.
So
these cool. guys, have you, Julie and Wendy, have you guys heard that term, the dark night of the soul?
No, but
no.
I definitely went
okay.
through that. That's exactly
yeah.
what I went through. I mean,
yeah.
no,
I
did.
Huh.
I
did that
yeah.
like 10 times or something
yeah.
because.
yeah.
I was there, it was a couple of years, and it just, and you know, I think that I would get out, and I'd go right back in, and same kind of
oh,
thing, it's
yeah.
like, why am I here, nobody needs me anymore, I might as well just check out.
Right.
Wow, man, yeah.
Yeah. What about, you said you've had a few of those, Julie?
Oh, yeah, I mean, my trouble started when I was younger. I've always
yeah.
been such an emotional roller coaster. I was
oh, yeah.
born and raised in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
My parents
are oh,
American.
Wow.
My parents, my dad's from like Louisiana. My mom's from Peru. Although my mom's like an American citizen, but they
mm-hmm.
moved to Saudi because my dad got a job there and I just happened to be born there, and they don't have school after 10th grade. You have to go to boarding school. And I was getting in so much trouble that we had to move back to the States. But I tried to take my life too. When I was like 15, I was in, always for me, I was in terrible relationships. But I realize now, looking back, that I definitely create that reality. Like, when I my first boyfriend was, like, you know, the needy, crazy drug addict. I mean, party, not so much fun. And then second one was more stable, all-around jock, good boy. We were engaged to get married, and I called off the wedding because I knew I was in love with him. You know, and the third one was an alcoholic and tried to get me down with him. And then, you know, the fourth one was, you know, just emotional and just not there. So it's like each one set me up to get to where I need to get now. But I definitely have been some dark moments through all that. I've partied a little too hard and had too many crazy people in my life.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like
you. So.
It sounds like you made progress and, like, healed a lot of whatever that stuff was. Do you feel, I mean, obviously this relationship with your husband, just from what little I've heard you talk about, it sounds very different from all those you were just describing. So what kind of place were you in when you met him?
I just gotten out of a relationship, and, well, we had found, okay, so I had broken up, the guy, like, broke up with me, and it was the first time someone broke up with me, and so my ego was like, what the hell, I was like, why isn't he with me? I'm like, awesome, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm yogi at a dance center, and why doesn't he like me? I mean, I totally don't have that kind of self-esteem, but I definitely want to know why, like, I was pretty cool kid, and, so I never got that answer anyway. I went on, like, one of those online dating things. I think it was called OkCupid, and Trevor was on there. We weren't even – we weren't even supposed to match up because my settings were set just for my city, and his were too. Oh. For some reason, there was a glitch when he was looking through and saw my picture inside and messaged me. Isn't that weird? Anyway.
We always say, what are the odds? 100%.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Right. Meant to be here or something. And we just started messaging back and forth, and we were both into, like, the same stuff, you know, and we just had awesome conversations. I never saw him physically. We did this on and off for, like, 8 months, and then he finally, I went back with that one guy and then got back together and or broke up, and then I was just like, can you come visit me? And he's like, yeah. So we did that, and, like, that weekend we became a couple, and I don't know, it was just right. I knew, I always thought when people were like, oh, you know who the one is, you just know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's bullshit, but that's because it never happened to me. Everyone I dated, I didn't know. So, but I knew Trevor. I just knew that he was going to be the person I finished my life with. But we're realistic. Like, we both say, like, I mean, we hope we spend the rest of our life together. We don't know what's going to happen from here to there. I guess that's what we talk. I'm like, we may break up or whatever. And I'm like, if I die, can you at least find another woman for my children, you know? Like, you know, someone cool. I mean, yeah, we just talk really realistic. So it's great. I love that I can talk to him about all this stuff.
Yeah, I love hearing examples of that, because that's something that I'm not, I don't know, I'm not there yet, and so it's okay, but I just don't know. I think that I believe that that is out there, like somebody that I'll have that feeling for, where I'm like, yes, I actually could see myself spin, but I like that you guys are realistic about it too and are aware of the fact that maybe things will change or, you know, circumstances could end up with a different result.
Absolutely.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
My oldest son is Trevor. I love that name. I love that name. Yes.
Trevor.
His ears are probably ringing. No, he's probably dying. He's at the grocery store with all the kids so that I can have some peace. He's pissed off, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, this is important to me. Actually, he's off, and then he's really supportive. He's like, I got you, girl. And he's like, we're out. And I'm like, all right, bye.
Nice. That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
No, I never thought I'd find someone that completed me like this. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we're good. Not like, not disgusting, like, all over each other, like, someone's, like, annoyed with us, but we both support each other where we're at right now.
Yeah.
That's great. You know?
Yeah.
That is great.
Very good.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome. I can't imagine, though. Well, I guess Lily and Gary are kind of like that, although I guess Lily's not as into it as Gary, but. I would imagine if you were, like, both, like, how about your wife, Mark? Is she really into it?
Yeah, how about her?
You know, she kind of does a lot of it naturally. She's not, you know, she's definitely not into it as much as I am. And you know, in the beginning, Abraham, when she first started doing it, she sounded really kind of even weird, like, very intense. And Kelly was like, she's too much, her voice drives me crazy, you know. So I kind of, you know, through the years I brainwashed her, I think, but and I, you know, I got, you know, like I, you know how we have to be careful of not pushing, you know, and so I have to be careful not pushing it on her. But so, you know, every once in a while I was like, honey, do you want to read the Joshua book? So I got her in the first book, and we read about 15 minutes at night sometimes, and she digs it. You know, she, I think I brainwashed her over the years, but definitely not into it. You know, she doesn't listen to any of the podcasts or anything like that, but.
Yeah.
So,
and
pretty cool,
she's reading a book. That's awesome. In the beginning,
yeah.
I was so excited. I wanted to push it on Trevor so bad. And then I think
a
few episodes, then we got into the fact. Then one of those podcasts that Gary was doing, I think he got into how you're not supposed to. You know, they have their own journey to go through. And it's
right.
So hard for me because I'm like so opinionated and I talk a lot and like all this kind of stuff. I always want to tell Trevor when, especially when we're like nagging back and forth, I'm like, you're just being resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that issue with my old gentleman friend. He would always say, am I dating you or am I dating Joshua?
Right?
That's awesome.
Both. They're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband always says, that's not very Joshua-esque of you.
But he doesn't necessarily follow it, but he calls me out when I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think, like, Kelly, she was, like, her mom was, very empowered, strong woman, and really empowered Kelly, and, you know, so Kelly grew up with confidence, self-worth, that type of stuff. And so, again, like she just did a lot of this stuff naturally. She just does it. She's confident, without being arrogant. And then, you know, I just had to work a lot and study it a lot.
Right.
How awesome is it, though, that you ended up with somebody who's like just so natural at it?
You know, that's
really
simple. So cool. Yeah. It's. Yeah, and then a little story how I found her. Kind of, we're talking about like you know how to find the one or whatnot. You know, I remember before her, I was dating and had some girlfriends, and then it was like a 4-year, like not you know dating people and not connecting with anybody, and then finally, and this is just a great law of attraction thing, but finally just giving up. Like, all right, you know, 4 years, I just gave up, and that's when I started my. What is it? What did I start? I think that's when I started my recording studio and just kind of just thought about, wait, no, I can't remember what I started, but I started a business and I just forgot about women and dating and then let it go and just learned how to make myself happy. And I got happy and then I started to attract, you know, I dated someone else and then I eventually met Kelly soon after that. So, you know, with the letting go thing, right? You let
right,
go.
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
trying. Yeah.
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 Big one.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Emma's going through that big time.
It's coming up on an hour. Do you guys want to, does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Do you want to call it a wrap or?
No, this is, I think we should call her. I mean, for me, I gotta get going.
Yeah.
But I think this was so awesome. I think I'll be better prepared. Maybe we can bring up a topic every time, like for 2 minutes. For the week or whatever we were thinking of. Because I know I do have a question on, like, how – I know we're, like, kind of – we'll get into it next time. It's okay. Then we'll start talking about it and we'll go there. But maybe we can all bring a topic or something next time. It'd be great.
Yeah. Sure. And if in the meantime, if you want to, like, post it – are you in the Friends of Joshua thing, Julie? Did I get you in there? Okay.
Yeah. On Facebook?
On Facebook, yeah. So if you ever want to, like – bounce anything off anybody in there. Astrid started doing it, which I think is awesome, and I'll be doing it. So that's another form.
Awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, I will. Is this a good time for you guys, Julie and Mark? Like Mondays at
great time for me-ish? Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'll just go ahead and schedule another one for next week and see if we can do another time for like European friends or whatever. But yeah, so I'll go ahead and set up another call for next week. If you guys want to
do
it, that'd be great.
I'm going to be out of town for 2 weeks, but I will definitely... join when I come back.
Okay,
cool. Where are you going?
So Kelly's turning 50, and she goes big when she does. And when she turned 40, she went big, and we're spending our money. Yeah. And 50, so we're going to Galapagos Islands and
nice.
Peru. Yeah. Oh, no, not Peru. We're going to what is it? I can't remember. Someone in South America, but Galapagos.
So we're exotic.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So we're going for 2 weeks, but thanks for putting this together, you guys. And I'd love to, when I come back, I'd love to be a part of it. So this is awesome. And the group, Facebook group.
Good. Yeah, we want to just like get out, reach out to other people of like minds, and like the cruise is going to be amazing and fun, but not everybody can get away for a week or, you know, it's just, and that'll build, and we can have other events like that too, but there's no reason why we can't have weekly events or monthly events or something where we can connect.
Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah, awesome. I really wanted to do the cruise, but I can't with nursing schedule. I definitely want to do it next year, or if like we can do something between now and the next cruise, like a meetup or something. I don't know. It's like a weekend.
That'd be
fun.
Yeah.
That'd be more romantic, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if we met in Florida. Gary's in Florida, and so that's not too far from you. You can just drive down. Just like
in Daytona. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun.
I
about that.
Kids with them and peace out. Oh, there's a Zen Awakening Festival, I think, in Orlando in November. And I know I'm definitely going to that. So I don't know if anybody wants to, like, make that a part of their thing if we met up during that time. So it's just a thought.
That's cool.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to have, but I bet those are like-minded people. So if you want to get the word out, that'd be a place to start. And then we can talk about all of it afterwards, like at Gary's place or something.
I'm writing that down. I'm going to talk to Gary about it.
Yeah, Zen. I think it's called Zen Awakening Festival. You just Google it. You should be able to find it. In Orlando. I missed it last year because of triggers.
Yeah.
When is it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it this year because I had like a 2-month-old. But it's in November.
Oh, in November. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mark, is Kelly coming on the cruise?
No, she's not. She has to work, unfortunately.
Yeah. I know. It's just hard. My husband's not coming either, but it'll be good, too, because it just gets you out and talk to other people where you would – I know I would, and it's spending more time with him versus now I'm rooming with Kyla.
Prepare yourself.
I'm so happy for you guys going on that cruise. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast. I'm
looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Yes, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll grow
this together.
Yeah.
We'll grow. People will find us when they're ready.
I
like
you guys.
I like the small and intimate thing, though. I could do this a few more times.
Me
thank
too.
You.
Totally cool, yeah.
All right, awesome. Well, I'll get something set up for next week, and I'll send out invites again and post it wherever it needs to be posted, so...
All right.
Cool. Maybe I can get Trevor on board. We'd have some questions for him.
Cool. That'd be awesome. All right, guys.
Bye, guys. Have a great night.
Have a
you
good
too.
Guys. Talk to you
have a good session next week. And thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this Friends of Joshua call. If you'd like the chance to be on one of these calls, you can search Friends of Joshua on Facebook and ask to join our private group. Joshua Live will be back next week as usual. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.